Next, you will hear a special presentation made at the 1967 Pastors Conference to golf star Gary Player. The presentation was made by James Jeffrey, Executive Director of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Thank you. I wish very much that Dr. C.A. Robert could be here to make this presentation. But in his absence, I'm happy to do so because I admire athletes who are champions. I admire all athletes that give of themselves and train and prepare for their competition. But when a man has reached the top, as has the man who is about to receive this trophy, I couldn't be happier in making any kind of a presentation than I am in making this one tonight. Dr. C.A. Roberts and I worked together on a statement. Dr. Roberts put it in words, and because it's so good and because of the time, I would like very much just to read it. And I think in order to read it, I'd like to have Mr. Gary Player come forward at this time. Gary?
All right.
Thank you. I wanted him to stand here beside me so that you'd be looking at him. In searching for the first recipient of the Christian Athlete of the Year Award, there were two major factors to be considered. First, the recipient needed to be one who had reached the apex, not only in his own sport, but the world recognition in the field of athletics. Second, it was necessary that he be a person who embodied the qualities one looks for in a follower of Jesus Christ. This year's recipient is a man who could have won this award not only this year, but any year during the past decade. Gary Player, at the age of 31, stands at the top of world golfers. He is one of only four men in the history who have won the Grand Slam of golf, the PGA, the U.S. Open, the Masters, and the British Open. Furthermore, Gary Player is a committed Christian. He is a devoted family man. His beautiful wife, Vivian, and he has five children. And he loves his home. He loves to spend time with his family. And by his own words, he lives for two things: to serve God and to help South Africa. Young people all over the world know the man dressed in black who strides down world fairways, taming golf courses, only to give away great shares of his winnings to help young boys less fortunate than himself. It is with great pride that we join hands with a great champion and a grand Christian gentleman in presenting the Christian Athlete of the Year Award to Mr. Gary Player.
Mr. Jeffries and ladies and gentlemen, it's a little difficult to talk after these preachers and somebody who sings as well as Anita Bryant, but I would just like to say that how much I appreciate this award and what a great honor it is, and particularly when you have so many fine athletes in this country, to give it to a foreigner such as myself, I appreciate it very much indeed. Although I'm sure in the eyes of God, there are no such things as foreigners. We're all his people, so I don't feel too bad about being a foreigner and receiving it. But one of the pressmen just now asked me, he said, what do you feel about this award? Well, I said, as far as I'm concerned, I can sincerely say that it's far more important than any golf tournaments I've ever won in my life, because one day when you leave here, they don't want to know how many 30-footers you hold. They want to know what sort of a person you are. So it really is a great honor for me to win this award. I'd just like to give my little testimony tonight and to say that when I was a young boy starting out, I naturally came from a Christian home, but I was influenced by a man called Marcus Levy, who was a golfer as well, a weekend golfer, who played five times a week. But He came out one day and he was watching me practice and he asked me what my ambitions were and what I wanted to do in life. And he said, well, whatever you want to achieve, remember that no man achieves anything on his own. You always have the help of the Lord. And he said, if I can give you two bits of advice, and that is to go hand in hand with God and also take him as your partner and realize that any man can achieve anything in life through Jesus Christ. Well, I'm very fortunate to say that I did this and how much it's helped me. And maybe I'm sounding a little bit egotistical when I say that I had six ambitions in my life, and those were to win the four major championships of the world, which I did. And I prayed to God to let me win these tournaments. Now, that might not be a very good thing to just say, well, please, Lord, let me win these golf tournaments. I think it's a bad thing to pray to win if you're only going to just do it for your own satisfaction, for the sake of limelight, and for the sake of money. But that wasn't the main reason. I'll say this, as a lot of people say, money isn't the most important thing in life, but it's a long way ahead of what's ever second. But anyway, I prayed to win these four tournaments so that I could be a servant of God. And I was very interested to listen to Mr. Butt tonight saying that we must be a servant. And this is one of the things that I'd never been told about. It's just something that God had told me, and I've prayed to be his servant so that I can travel around the world, and I do travel around the world. I've traveled well over 1,000,000 miles already and hope to still be able to travel a lot and be able to. My ambition is to get the message through to young people. I feel that the young people, you know, a lot of grown-ups, you know, when you build a building, you have to have a very good foundation. And with some of the grown-ups, it's not too late, but it's a tough job to get the message through to. But the young people, those are the people we want to get the message through to, are the young people of the world. And take America, for example. I'm not 100% sure of my facts, but I believe in something like 20 years' time that the majority of your population will all be under the age of 30 years of age. So these are the people we got to get the message through to. This is so very, very important. And I've been talking to a lot of schools and universities all over the world and enjoy it immensely. And the three things that I talk about when I go to these schools and universities are what I call the big three. And that is faith, physical fitness, and education. And when I talk to these boys, I try and explain to them by having faith that you get a discipline which is so necessary in life. I think there's a great lack of discipline in the world today. I think by having faith, you get this tremendous discipline. I think also that you get humility, and there's nothing worse than to meet anybody who hasn't got any humility whatsoever. And a lot of people say, well, these young boys, and we'll have a chat to them afterwards, they say, it's all very well for you. You've made quite a bit of money, and you've got everything you want. But that's not the point, I tell them. I say that whatever a person has in life, everybody has to have sacrifices. Admittedly, I'm winning tournaments, and I'm winning money, but here I am tonight, probably 10,000 miles away from my five children and my wife and my home country and my ranch, and that's where I'd like to be. But I'm doing something I feel that's important tonight, and wherever I go, I feel it's important, the most important thing in my life. So everybody, irrespective of what you got in life, has to have sacrifices. So everybody doesn't have everything at all. But anyway, somebody was saying to me tonight, how come you have five children? I had five when I was 29, or my wife did. And they said, how come you have five children at the age of 29? I said, it's very simple. We don't have television in South Africa. One of the schools that I went to, one of the young boys in the preparatory school, he couldn't have been more than 8 years of age, came up to me and said to me, he said, Mr. Player, I'd like to ask you one question after listening to your talk. He says, can you tell me who made God? And, you know, not being a preacher and not knowing all the answers, I was sort of stumped for a while. And the only answer I could think of, I said, well, son, as far as I'm concerned, God has been there all the time. And I don't know whether that satisfied him, but that is the best answer that I could give him. But anyway, I'd just like to say how I enjoy talking to these schools, because this is going to be my work when I'm finished golf. I don't plan to play golf all my life, and what I'd like to do is go farming and also to do youth work, and that is for underprivileged children. And I'm very happy to say that I've started this work in South Africa now, and we're planning to get boys from all over the world to come along to this type of thing that we do. We give them Bible classes, and we have little discussions. We give them physical fitness classes, soil conservation, and hikes, and things of that nature, which we think are so important to young people. But anyway, the second thing I mentioned to these boys and girls is physical fitness. Now, physical fitness, as Mr. Butt was talking about Billy Graham tonight, he is definitely the finest human being that I've ever met. I think he's a wonderful man, and he's really helped me very much too. And he always mentioned the Trinity to me, which is commonly known in the Bible as the Trinity. And I mentioned this to these young people about physical fitness. And I was a great admirer of your ex-President Kennedy, who had started this physical fitness campaign, which is a wonderful thing. Because if a man's physically fit, he doesn't have a brilliant mind, but he has a mind that is clear, which is so important. Physical fitness doesn't only make you strong and have stamina. Physical fitness can even benefit the economy of one's country. People say, how can physical fitness benefit the economy of one's country? Well, it certainly can, because let's say that the average man works 8 hours a day. If a man is physically fit, he will give 8 hours a day. But the man who isn't goes through the motions he works for 5 hours and goes through the motions for 3 hours. So really, when you multiply, say, 200 million times three, that's 600 million hours a day. And over the year, that goes into billions of hours, so you can see that physical fitness is important to the economy of one's country as it is to your body. And I was very interested to hear what Mr. Butt said tonight about smoking and his mother in that grocery store. And I fully endorse his remarks, or his mother's remarks, and I go along with that. She'd be a good friend of mine. And as far as my little story, as far as... I have been offered, and this is my little story as far as tobacco is concerned, and I do know that the Bible says that you must treat your body as a holy temple, and I was offered a very large sum of money to smoke and represent a cigarette contract, and I told this man, I said, you know, if you gave me $1 million, I would not smoke. And he said... I think he's... was quite amazed at that, but it's no use me standing up on television or as I am tonight and talking about not smoking, and the next minute I get offered a lot of money and start smoking. I'm certainly not going to set any example to young people this way. Anyway, the next thing I'd just like to say, I tell these boys a little bit about education, and that is to prevent these boys and girls from being fallouts. It's so very, very important to complete their education. A lot of young people think that when they finish college and they go into university, they think that that's the end of their education. As far as I'm concerned, when they're leaving university, they're really going back into grade one, because you're going out into this tough world and to face into business against all these sharks, and it's no easy job. And one thing that I would like to see, besides the Bible being in every school, I would like to see this book by Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking. He quotes from the Bible right throughout the book, and I think that this could be a tremendous help. In other words, we're just saying if we could just install faith into these young people so that when they go out into the world, they're prepared for hard knocks and they can accept things in adversity as well as things when they are going well. And I certainly make certain that my children not only read the Bible, but make certain that they read this book, The Power of Positive Thinking. You know, as far as young people are concerned, I know I'd just like to tell you about a young friend of mine who is playing golf. And as far as young people, they often get scared. And I think this is a great problem with a lot of professional athletes today. They're scared to stand up. They feel that you're a square if you stand up and you say, I'm a believer in Christ. They're scared. They do believe in it, but they don't work at it. And as you're saying tonight, to have a successful marriage, you've got to work at it. To be successful at business, you've got to work at it. To be successful as far as faith is concerned, you've got to work and give as well. And if only a few more of these athletes would not be scared to say this, would be proud to say this, you know, all young people, whether we like it or not, whether it's a right thing or not, are hero worshippers. And all young people seem look up to a lot of athletes, and I know that there's a lot of this work done with football players and baseball players, and I only wish that a lot more of these people in this position would do more for these young people. I feel there could be a lot done. And a very close friend of mine in South Africa, who was a professional golfer, he used to play over here. One day he hit at the Masters tournament, he hit his last shot at the hole. He said, "Gary, I'll never play golf as long as I live again. I'm not happy doing this." He says, "I want to become a missionary and work for the Lord." And it was surprising how many people said that he was trying to escape from the strain of golf, and they just wouldn't accept that a person could want to go out and do this. And it's a great shame that these are the difficulties that we encounter in the world today. Also, I know I've just done a new book called Grand Slam Golf, and in one of the chapters was written entirely on faith, and it was surprising how much I was criticized by some press reporters in various parts of the world. And it's really a great shame when you have these people, and sometimes I begin to wonder, as Anita Bryan said tonight, talking about the fact of atheists, maybe they are. And you know, it reminds me of a story in London in Hyde Park. You have the soapbox derby there, or convention, where everybody stands up on this box and talks with great freedom. And the one man was standing up, and he was the biggest atheist that ever lived. And he stood up there and he kept on saying, "You know, there is no such thing as God. You don't want to believe in God." And he went on to talk like this. And you know how he ended up his speech? He said, "So help me God." Anyway, I think the world's in a lot of trouble now. I think we're in an awful lot of trouble wherever you go in the world. And there's only one thing that can save us, and that is the Lord. And I feel absolutely certain about that. And that's why, again, I say we must get this message through to the young people wherever we can. I'd just like to say that some of how faith has helped me. When I won the Masters in 1961, I stood up and I said to the press before I won the tournament, I said, "I'm going to win this tournament because God has given me the message that I'm going to win this tournament." And a lot of people must have thought that you people say that I was nuts. But anyway, I won the tournament, and I was able to accept things through having this faith, to accept things in adversity when they're not going well, to take the good with the bad, to be able to overcome the strain and the tension. And I know a lot of you people think, well, what an easy way to make a living, just to stand there and hit a little white ball around and pick up a check every week. But you try and play golf and you see it's not that easy. When you've got to face up to a four-footer on the last hole for $20,000, that hole looks like the size of a Bayer aspirin. But anyway, and also it helped me to be able to play slowly. And I'm sure that when Christ moved, he moved and did everything slowly. And that is something that's helped me when I'm under this tremendous strain, just to talk slowly, to play slowly, and to think slowly. And it certainly prevents you from being flustered and making a mess of things. And I think that also, if you've noticed on television, when most of you finished your round, you have all these children coming around for autographs and pushing them in your face, pulling your jacket here. If you get flustered, you're not going to make anybody happy. But if you can just do it nice and slowly and try and give every one of them a smile and shake their hand or pat their head, they get that feeling of warmth. And from that feeling of warmth, I'm sure that they get a feeling of God, which eventually has some bearing in their lives in the future. Anyway, I'm sure you've heard enough of me talking. I'd just like to say how proud I am to be a man of Christ. And I would like to say this, that I'm not a minister in a church by any means. But I do try, and I hope that God will help me to be a minister of golf on the golf course. Thank you.
As dub golfers, we admire your game. As ministers of the gospel, as fellow Christians, we deeply appreciate your testimony that you bear, and we want to give you this plaque that you might carry it. Remember that our prayer supports you as you represent Jesus throughout this world.